Welcome back to Afternoon Jams. Of course, this the radio version is going to run a 103.7 to beat in Muskegon, 98.5 The Wire in Orlando, and Power 105.3 in Benton Harbor, Michigan. The TV version, a television show version of this interview, will run on Comcast Cable throughout the whole state of Michigan in a couple weeks on Channel 900. Big Rob, this interview is personal for you. Yes. Why, bro?
Because I was adopted myself. The difference between me and this young lady is that I knew who my parents were. And yeah, it's an experience.
And so our guest to talk about this topic, I know her personally. I know her mom and dad personally. And I can tell you this, growing up, I didn't even know that she was adopted because Pastor Piggy and First Lady treated her and the other kids like royalty. And so I didn't realize that until later on in life, long time after they had passed, and they were very close friends with my mom and stepfather, very close friends. And so this interview is personal. We want to welcome to the show my good sister, my dear queen, Andrea Piggy. Andrea, how you doing today, sister?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. So this whole journey, when did you find out that you were adopted?
So I've always known. It was not anything that they hid from me. My mom and my daddy, they told me when I was younger, people are mean. And people would come to me and say, you know, that's not your real mom and daddy. You know, you don't belong to them for real. And so they told me early on, just so that when those type of people came, my response was always, yeah, I know, I'm special, because they chose me. They picked me, so I'm special. And that's how they explained it. And that the earliest I can remember is like 6 or 7 years old.
Wow, that's good. Because did they talk about this publicly?
I mean, people in the church, in our church knew, family knew, friends knew, but it wasn't anything that we hid. My dad was never ashamed of it. My mom was never ashamed of it. I've never been ashamed of it. If you get any, you know, if you get into my inner circle, I've always made it known. I'm not proud of it like that, but I've never been ashamed to say that, you know, these people have loved me and cared for me.
And can you, before we get into this finding your history, can you tell me how was the household with Pastor Piggy and First Lady?
Well, it was the best of both worlds. I mean, it was the best of both worlds. My daddy, he was a stone cold Church of God in Christ, holiness or hell, it is what it is, man. And he was a true man, and he stood on the word of God. He took care of his family. He provided. He worked at, you know, CWC, and he took care of us. He was loving, but he was loving in his way. And then my mama, words cannot describe my mama. She was awesome. Awesome. And very loving, took care of us. They made sure we didn't want for anything, love, affection, material things, whatever it was, you know, they were there. But the most important thing was they gave me that strong foundation of God.
Exactly. And Pastor Piggy served his country.
Yes, he did. He was a Marine, and the Marine stories were definitely always there. Right. And he was a Marine. We used to call him, affectionately call him Sergeant Groucho. He was a Marine until he died.
Exactly. Wow. Wow. So when did you start this journey of trying to find out about your biological parents?
I started looking probably a little bit before my daddy died. So he died in November of 2013. And so a little bit before that, I started looking, and he told me, you know, he was like, I think your mother had other children. And he was like, but I don't know any details. I just think she had more children besides you. And I'm like, okay. And he asked me if I wanted him to pay for me to search. And I was like, no, I'm not really ready. I'm not really ready right now, but thank you. You know, and he was like, well, if you want to search, let me know, I'll help you. And so then after he passed away, I started looking around and trying to get records and things like that. And the state of Michigan is just horrible when it comes to adoptees. Like, they do not want to give you any information at all. You have to go through a lot. You have to go through the court and, you know, you got to, you know, ask the court if you can get records and all this kind of stuff. And then if your parents signed a non-disclosure, you could pay anywhere up to $1,000 for a mediator who can't even guarantee you that they're going to give you information. Wow. It's really hard. And I'm not even talking about like names and stuff, even to just get your birth record so you can know your health issues, like your health background. Wow. It's hard to get that, which is something that blows my mind. Almost like adoptees get penalized for being adopted. Wow. You know, and so I began searching. I reached out to Catholic Social Services. Wonderful lady over there. She really helped me. And then so in 2018, I got a lot of information about it. And then I kind of stopped looking because I hit that brick wall again with the state. You know, they didn't want to release information. They didn't want Catholic Social Services to release any information. So they released everything that they consider non-identifying. So everything except for something that I would be able to use to look for them. And then, so last year for my birthday, I said, I'm just going to buy Ancestry Kit. I'm just going to see what happened.
Uh-oh.
And that's how it all started. That's how it all started.
Oh, boy, that DNA thing, it is finding things out here.
I'm telling you, that ancestry, I was like, oh my goodness. But I mean, I'm happy, you know. And I tell anybody, if you have those questions and you want those answers, start with Ancestry, because you'd be surprised who has gone on there and put their DNA on there.
So when you first did Ancestry, how many hits did you get?
So when I got my results back, I'll never forget it. I got my results back on January the 13th at 9:50 p.m. I'll never forget it. And it came back with a close relative, which was like 2000 something. Then it said a first cousin on my father's side, a first cousin on my mother's side, and then just a whole bunch of like second, third, fourth relatives.
How close were these people?
So the close family relative was actually my half brother.
Wow. And yep. And you were in Muskegon, Michigan, but where was he at?
So the brother that was on there, he's down in Georgia. There was a first cousin on my father's side. She is actually in Muskegon.
What?
Yeah, so she's in Muskegon, so that was like trippy. Like, man, I probably have been somewhere in the same building with you and just didn't even know who you were. Wow. And so, yeah, exactly. And then come to find out, I have another half brother that's in Nuevo, and it's like, man, he was like right there. And my birth mother and my birth father, they used to live in Grand Rapids.
Okay. So 30, 40 miles away to our listeners in Florida, your birth mother and father. Now, who did you try to reach out to first? Who did you try to get in contact with first?
So I reached out to at the time it was my half brother. I reached out to him, and then I reached out to the first cousin that night. So Wednesday night, Thursday, the first cousin messaged me back. And she was like, oh my goodness, I know it. You have to be my uncle's daughter. And, you know, she was messaging me back and forth. And she's like, I'm going to contact him so that you can get in touch with him. And I was trying to be private investigator, me and my daughter, all night. I probably didn't go to bed till like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. So we had been on my half brother's Facebook page, and I found my father because he had him listed as father on his page.
Oh, wow.
And so I ended up Facebook messaging him. And it was, I didn't really know what to say. So I just was like, yeah, I think I'm your daughter.
That's what you said?
Yeah. I was like, I think I'm your daughter. I did Ancestry and your son comes back as my half brother. So I think that makes me your daughter. And then I just kind of explained the situation to him. And then Friday, my half brother messaged me and he said, so I guess you're my cousin. And I was like, yeah, probably not. The DNA pretty much says I'm your sister. And he said, well, I have one sister and that's not you. So, and I was like, okay, that's fine. It's cool. And so we kept talking. And then my sister ended up messaging me. And she said, so from what I'm hearing, I believe you're my sister. And I'm like, well, yeah. And by this time, this is like the second or third day. So now I'm tired of typing all of this. So I was like, can you just call? Can I just call you and we could just talk? And she was like, yeah. And so she called me and we started talking. And I said, my mother had a daughter that was two and a son that was one. And she said, I got to go. Click, and hung up in my face.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, whoa. And so she called me right back and she's like, okay, you can continue now. And so when I got done, she said, I don't even know how to tell you this. And she was like, you're my full sister. My mom and dad is your mom and dad.
Mm. Wow. Did she know that you existed?
No.
So when you reached out to her, this was all new.
Nobody knew about me. Like she was two when I was born. I have a brother under her that was one. The brother that was on Ancestry, he wasn't even thought of at that time because there's another brother in between me and him.
Wow. Now, interesting. Your mother, did you know your mother was Hispanic?
Yes. On my paperwork, I laugh when I say this because I'm like, it dates me because on my paperwork, it said that my mother was Mexican and my father was Negro.
Oh, wow.
So like, that was a long time ago.
Right.
When
he came right.
away from Negro.
Right. Wow. So I think we got a picture of your father. What were you able to find out about him?
So in my paperwork, it didn't really have anything about him. It just said that he was black. He was 6'2", I think it was, and that was it. So Ancestry, when I did Ancestry, that's really what I was looking for, was to get more information on him because I didn't have anything. And so that is my dad, and his name is Frank, and yeah, he's awesome.
What was that first time that y'all talked or met? What was that like?
On Saturday. So that Saturday we talked and, he called me and I didn't answer the phone because I was just kind of nervous. And I called him back and he was like, how are you? And I said, I'm good. And, you know, so we kind of just asked each other some questions, you know, just some like general questions. And then I just asked him, you know, did you know about me? And he said no. And then I asked him, you know, I said, if you had known, would you have looked for me? And he said, yeah, definitely.
Oh, and wow. So you know, he didn't know you existed.
No.
So mom hid the pregnancy?
They had broken up.
Wow. 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 That's for you. Like, how did it make you feel when you started and you start processing all that? I'm sure it's a roller coaster, right?
Yes. Yes. That Saturday and Sunday, I really didn't get much sleep. Me and my sister, we spent pretty much all day texting and talking on the phone and talking to my dad, talking to my mom and talking to my children. And then Sunday morning, I woke up and I was like, I'm blocking all of them. I'm just blocking them. Like, it's too much. I'm blocking them. And I was like, no, I prayed for this. Like, I prayed for this. This is what I prayed for. And God did it. So no, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, because all of these emotions that I thought I had processed and gotten rid of, they just, and then even some that I didn't even realize had come. And so it was a lot. It was a lot. Because a lot of people don't get to find their mother and their father alive.
Now, I know Big Rob. Big Rob, you shared your frustration of being adopted, being away from your mom, right, Rob?
Yeah. Yeah. Even though my mother was who she was, and my father being who he was, it was, it's very frustrating. You always got these questions of why. And then when you do meet them and you're getting around them and stuff like that, you see things that remind you of yourself. So I get it, even the bad things,
Yep.
Sometimes your likes and your dislikes, you see that in them and I get it.
Andrea, what was it like seeing your mom, meeting her? You did meet her, right?
Yes. So she came here to Grand Rapids and I went and saw her and it was trippy. It was trippy. Like to look at her and to be sitting there next to the woman that gave birth to me. I was flooded with emotions, like flooded. I was happy. I was sad. I was angry. I was frustrated. I was excited. I was nervous. Every emotion you can feel, I was feeling it in that moment. And then she took her mask down and I was looking at her from her side view. And I said, "What?" And she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Oh, you ain't got no top lip either." And we both just started laughing.
Right.
Because my children always tease me about my top lip and I'm like, "Oh, I get that from you. You don't have a top lip either." And we just started laughing and that kind of broke the ice for us.
Wow.
Did you get around to the question of why?
I did.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of
I don't know if you want to share that. Do you want to share that?
That's always tough to swallow for people that was adopted. Because
yeah.
Nothing in our heads, I don't know if you feel this way, Andrea, nothing in our heads is worth it. No. Nothing.
What was it like for you when you heard the why?
So the why is to be continued. I asked the why, but I didn't ask the why. I asked the why in a roundabout way. Mm-hmm. Because just what Rob said, like I wanted to know the answer, but I don't want to know the answer,
mm-hmm.
And
because it ain't gonna be good enough.
I'm
telling you, it's not gonna be good enough. So leave it where it's at. I made that mistake and asked why. Took me a long time. I'm still dealing with that.
Yeah.
So, my advice to you, good sister, is to just let it be as it is.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm trying to do. I'm trying not to ask those questions because it's been a really good experience so far. And I really don't have anything bad to say at all. Like everybody's been like, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe you're here. I just recently came back from visiting my sister and my niece and my nephews and so it's been wonderful experience for me. And so, like I said, I asked it, but I didn't ask it. And, part of me was like, you should probably just leave it alone because God did what he did for a reason. And, what her reason was, that's her reason. But, God did it for the reason that he did it. And
it's got to be different for you because you are a woman, you are a mother, and for me, being a man and just being a father is the difference because, I always tell my kids, especially my boys, I got four boys and only got one daughter. I say a mother gets to love that child and cherish that child and care for that child 9 months. Before a father even sees it, and mm-hmm. can really feel the attachment to that child. And I assume as a woman, you know, going through your pregnancies, you felt that with your children, and then you asked that question.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, Andrea, and maybe you probably know this. Your mother's Mexican, your father's Black. There is a lot of cultural influence.
Yep.
A lot of Hispanic community stay within themselves.
Yep.
And they don't do a lot of race mixing. And I'm sure back when you were born, it wasn't popular.
No.
And Rob
is mixed, and so his situation wasn't popular. So I can imagine that kind of pressure. I'm not giving her any excuse. I mean, that's mom, and you guys can get that point. But I just could imagine kind of pressure. What are they doing now? I'm gonna put their picture up on the screen here. What is mom and dad doing?
So we talk all the time. We text. My dad is a truck driver, so we text more than we talk. But we talk all the time. As a matter of fact, I was just texting with my mom earlier today. We talk all the time. Dad's a truck driver. Mom is in, she does employee relations. So kind of similar to what I do, actually, which is kind of trippy.
Right. You help people get jobs.
Yes. And so she does similar work. And so that was kind of trippy. But yeah, the relationships, you know, I tell everybody the relationships are building one conversation at a time. Are the conversations always good? Nope, they're not because I'm grown. I'm 47. I have, you know, three children of my own. I have, you know, my adopted children. I have my grandchildren. So, you know, and I am me, you know. And so those formative years where you kind of form your child, those are gone. I'm already formed. But the one thing that I do appreciate about both of them is they both are like, we're thankful for your parents, you know, because they raised you right and they raised you good. And, you know, we're thankful for that. And that was something that I really, like, during the first conversation assured them of. Like, I told them, I don't think y'all could have picked a better set of parents for me than what I had. Like, if you'd have handpicked them yourself, they couldn't have been better. And so I really wanted them to know that I wasn't one of those statistics that got caught up in, you know, foster homes or, you know, things like group homes and stuff like that. That wasn't for me. You know, that wasn't my story. And so I wanted to reassure them that I was loved. I was loved by my family, my parents, my family, my church family. You know, I received a lot of love.
Wow. If Pastor Piggy was here today, what do you think he would say to you?
He'd be happy for me. I think both of them would be happy for me. I think he would want to meet them. You know, I think he'd want to meet them. He'd want to talk to them. I think he would be happy for me because he knew it was a part of me that left some feelings that and some emotions that were not always good. And some of that stuff ended up making me not make good choices in some areas. But I think he would be proud of me for, you know, doing it and for finding them and for, you know, just going through this journey.
No. I got some statistics here before we wrap up. In 2019, almost 12,000 African American kids were adopted. Almost 14,000 Hispanic kids were adopted in 2019. What would you say to those kids that are seeking answers? You know, what kind of advice would you give them?
For me, I would say the first thing is get God in your life, because having a foundation that no matter who comes and who goes, you're still good. And then I would just tell them to be cautious. Like Rob said, be cautious when you're asking those questions. If you feel like that's a part of you that you need to find, then by all means, look and never give up looking. Look, search, do ancestry, do, you know, do 23andMe. Oh, do those things and see what you can find. But just know that there may be that situation where they're like, nope, I don't want to be bothered. So you have to prepare yourself for that. And then it may be that they're like, oh, no, we welcome you with open arms. But you need to prepare yourself for both and feel like you're not emotionally ready to handle that. No, we don't want you. Then don't look. Don't look.
And you know what else too, sister? See, part of my story is that my sister, my oldest sister, was white. She never treated me any differently. Okay. Mm-hmm. My niece, my sister had a daughter. She had a couple of daughters, but she had one daughter, Erica, my niece Erica. She's white too. My niece wanted to know certain things about my sister, who has since gone on.
Okay.
And I've tried to answer all her questions, but I answered them, how can I say it, with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, forgiveness. I try to answer with those. Because sometimes in life, we may want to know the truth, but can we handle the truth?
That's it.
You know, sometimes in life, we want to know it. Oh, God, we want to know this. But can we handle it? And that's the biggest thing, you know. And my sister had her issues because of my mother. My other sister had her issues because of my mother. You know, I had my issues because of my mother, and that's just honest to God truth. You know what I mean?
Right.
That my father was no saint, because he wasn't. But, you know, I always tell people, I say, kids look at their parents as God.
Yep.
Period. They look at their parents. They can't do no wrong. They can fix all the pain and everything else that's going on. You know, as a child, that's the way you look at your parents.
Yep.
You know, but when you're adopted and you find out you're adopted,
it's different.
It turns it, I don't know if you feel this way, sister, but it turns it a little different. What was wrong with me?
Yeah.
Why wasn't I good enough?
Right. Yeah. I think the situation with Andrea Big Rob is that Andrea had loving parents.
Yeah.
You were moved around, and your experience was like, you know, you had some good parents, but you also moved around a lot. But she has some stable, the most stable parents. Like, if I was adopted, I want to be adopted by her parents. You know what
I'm
but it was still there, though. But that was still there. And when I so that's the reason why I said finding me and breaking chains, because that rejection, that abandonment, that feelings of not being lovable.
Yes.
Like, hey, if the one person, your mama, who's supposed to love you no matter what, didn't love you and didn't want you, that stuff is there. And that's something that I talk to a lot of adoptees, and they all say that's something that's there. Even after they find their parents, it's still something that's there. For me, in my case, God knew I was ready. God knew I could handle it. So he did it, and he did it. And he did it well.
And that's
when did it start? When did it start really bothering you, Andrea? Was it bothering you as a kid?
It always bothered. I don't know. When I would come to Grand Rapids, so you know, back then we had to go to the Woodland Mall to go to a real mall.
Uh-huh.
And so we would come over here to Woodland Mall, and I would be looking at people's faces like, do they look like me? Do they look like me? Do she look like me? Do he look like me? And then, you know, there were times when I would sit on my front porch and just imagine, like, man, what if my mom and daddy just walked up and was like, we here to get you. We came back for you. You know, that stuff was always there. And don't give me, listen, I don't take anything away from Reuben and Evelyn. They, listen, the best. You hear me? The best. But at my core, there was always something missing.
Yeah.
Wow. There was always something missing.
Do you feel like you got it now? Do you feel like you getting it? Yes. You got it?
I feel like I'm getting that rejection and that abandonment. That was immediately gone. When I talked to my dad and he said, if I had known about you, I would have came looking for you. And then when I talked to my mom and she said, I want you in my life now. That freed me of that immediately. Wow. And people that were around me, they were like, you sound different. Like, you have such a confidence now, and you have such a like a feeling of self-pride or something. They was like, I don't even really know what to say, but you just are so different. Like, you even look different. And so when you get that, and that's something that you've been wanting, because don't get, like I said, I knew Ruben and Evelyn wanted me. Bobo and Weezy, they wanted me. Like, they wanted me and they loved me. But to have those people who actually got together and created me, for them to say, we want you in our life. We want to know you. We want to get to know you. We want to get to know your children. For them to say it, for my siblings to be like, I'm so glad you found us. My nieces and nephew, I'm so glad you found us. Like, we want to get to know you. That helped to move some of that stuff. And someone just said completeness. Yes, it does. It brings a sense of completeness.
And that's the one thing I know about adoptees or people that have been adopted. You know, we all feel that sense of abandonment. We all feel that sense of, no matter how our situation was. I know adoptees, they know they were being taken away, and that was the best decision for them at that time, you know, because of all the stuff that was going on. But you still feel that emptiness. You still like, why couldn't you get it together, you know, to raise me, especially after you have a child or children? Because, you know, you sister, you know, as a mother, you sacrifice days, nights, sleep, food, clothes, bills, everything for your children. And you know you would do that. And you looking around like, okay, what was wrong with you doing that for me? I get all of that, you know, and that's all I was saying, Paul. I wasn't trying to say that her situation was, you know, the same as mine, because it wasn't, you know, but I understand where she's coming from. We all feel that. That's the one thing we all have as a collective unit that's been adopted.
It binds us together.
It binds us together. And we all have problems growing up of abandonment. Relationships, people leaving out our life, you know, all this stuff like that. You know, we not good with that, you leaving stuff. You know,
that's kind of messed up. Andrea, question for you. What has it been for your kids? How has it been for them?
It's been for them because, you know, we were close with my dad. And, you know, my children love my dad, and they, you know, my dad was their everything. And so now to have a grandfather, and then to have a grandfather that they can look at and be like, man, I got some of your features, and to have a grandmother that they could be like, oh, I have some of your features. And my mother, my mom, she's old school. So she's like, y'all can, they need to call me Wella. And your grandson needs to call me Welita, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, hey, whatever you want, I don't have no problem with it. But they're good. I mean, you know, they're adjusting because, of course, they don't want to see their mom hurting, and they've seen some of the hurt that over the years that's been there. But, you know, they're enjoying it. And now they have cousins, and now they have, more aunts, and they have more cousins, and they have more, and some of these ones actually, you know, they look like them.
Wow.
They can see themselves in each other. So yeah.
No, what did you find out before we go? What did you find out about your Hispanic heritage? What did you find out?
That, like, I can't roll my R's. Huh? That I can't roll my R's. My mom teases me all the time. Whenever we're talking, she always tries to get me to say words with an R in it because I cannot roll my R's. And so she always teases me about that. And, you know, I'm learning, you know, I'm learning. I've always, you know, liked the Hispanic culture. I've, you know, liked the food and things like that. And But you know, we're learning, and I'm excited about, you know, the journey, the continuation of the journey, because it's a continuation. Like, my journey hasn't ended. This is just another chapter in it. And so I'm excited, and I'm grateful that, you know, you made this platform, because it is hard for adoptees and they don't have a lot of resources. And we do need to stick together and try to help each other, because there are some things that just, if you're not adopted, you just wouldn't understand, you know, some of the feelings and the emotions. You just wouldn't get it unless you're adopted. You know, to be able to look at somebody and say, you look like me, or I look like you, or when they laugh, you could be like, oh, I laugh like that. Or, you know, when they say something, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, now I see where I get it from, you know, and things like that. That's things that people who are with their parents, that's something that they take for granted. Adoptees, we don't take that stuff for granted, because we've been looking for that our whole life. And so when we get it, we like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. So yeah, it is. It's wonderful.
Your baby just made a comment. Mom, I'm so happy for you. This was the moment I couldn't wait for you to have. I love you. Madre. Wow.
Now, if I could roll my R's, that would sound different.
So tell me this, Andrea, your family comes from what country then?
So
your mom's side.
Oh, on my mom's side, it was a lot of Spain. It said indigenous Mexico, and then it said Spain. And then on my father's side, it said Nigerian. On my ancestry, it said Nigerian. And then, you know, there was some other ones. But for him, the primary one was Nigerian.
So indigenous Mexico, is that Native American? Well, what would be Native, like Indians? Native, because...
Yeah,
they was there.
They was all there.
Right. Wow. Have there been anything that you want to advise people on this whole process? What they shouldn't do?
Really, you have to take a self-examination, and you really have to ask yourself: are you ready? Are you really ready for what you're going to find out? Like, and that's the biggest thing. Like, are you ready for what you're going to find out? Because you might find out some things that you don't like. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. It might be in a good way. You just might find out something, you'd be like, ooh, you know, and so you just really have to be careful, and you have to be ready for those, for the possibility that there may be some rejection. You have to be ready for that. Because everybody may not be happy about it. Like, I understand that I've known about them a lot longer than they've known about me. So I give them time. You know, I give them time to try to process it. And I have to process too, because like I said, feelings and emotions that are coming up, you know, you have to get ready for it. But really, really ask yourself, are you strong enough to handle what will come when you look?
Was your daddy, is he upset with your mom for not telling him?
No. Nope. He said, you know, he was just like, it happened and that's that. And I, you know, my mom, she's like, you know, I talked to her and I told her, I said, I forgive you. In our first conversation, I said, I forgive you. And I forgive you because you could have aborted me, and then I wouldn't be here, and then I wouldn't have my three children, and I wouldn't have my grandson. So you didn't. And because you didn't, now they're here. And so I thank you. Whatever happened, whatever your reason was, you had your reason, and that's fine. I forgive you. And I love you because you could have aborted me, but you didn't. You gave me up for adoption, and you allowed some people who really wanted a child, who couldn't have a child, to get a child and give them all the love and the support that they could give them. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And I'm appreciative. I thank God, because without God, none of this would have been possible. That's why I had my sister made this shirt for me. She prayed, she believed, but God did it. all of this, as I look at all of this, I see God in all of this, and God did it, and it's marvelous in my sight.
How can people follow you? Because you do an update on Facebook. How can they connect with you?
So I'm on Facebook, Andrea Piggy on Facebook. I have a YouTube channel that I'm getting it up and going, and I am working. I'm actually working on getting a podcast.
Good. Great. Just is there a group? Is there any like a page for adoptees support?
There are a couple different pages for adoptees. There are a couple different pages for adoptees on Facebook. They're not open, but once you put your story in there, you tell what, you know, if you're an adoptee, if you're a birth mother, birth father, whatever, they'll let you in. There's some DNA search pages. And I want to say this too. There are some people that they're called search angels out there, and they're on Facebook, and that's all they do is help people find their loved ones. Once you do your ancestry, they help you connect the dots, and they are awesome. Like, they definitely are angels. And so I had one, her name was Kendra, and she was awesome. Like, she connected some dots for me, and she did some stuff for me, and I'm forever grateful to her. And she's an adoptee, so she kind of knew, and she was walking with me through the process. She's been walking with me, and I'm grateful for her. I've never met her face-to-face, but if I ever do, I'm giving her a big old hug.
Wow.
But now, yes, they connect me on Andrea Piggy on Facebook.
Your father did have other kids, and he's in their life, right? He are in their life.
Yes. He had another daughter and then three sons, and they're all, yep, he's in everybody's life. We're getting ready to celebrate my sister's birthday, so we're gonna all be together. And I'm excited about that. And my dad said he's coming up to see me. He'll be up to see me sometime this month or next month. And so I'm excited about that. I'm going down there to see him. I'm excited. I'm excited. It's a good journey, and I know that whatever happens, each step, I'm just going to take it each step at a time. I'm not going to rush it. Just going to take it one step at a time, one conversation at a time, and go from there.
Came a long way. We got a lot of answers.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, 23andMe or Ancestry DNA, which one?
I would have to say Ancestry.
Okay.
All right. If you want to know the health stuff, 23andMe, all the way. Because I'm getting ready to do a 23andMe for the health stuff. But if you're just looking for answers about family, Ancestry.
Thank you for opening up your life to the world.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the invite and the opportunity. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Look at you as a sister. So
definitely.
When I saw that Facebook, like, I was glued. Like, when I saw your story, I'm glued. Like an hour and a half, and my attention span is very short. So. And I'm like, wow, I couldn't leave. I wanted to hear the story. You know what I mean? But it was, thank you. All right. Love you.
Thank you. Love you too. Thank you, Rob.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Y'all have a good one.